Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
We're going to be dealing with the concept of thanksgiving today. We've been dealing in a series of different kinds of prayer, confession, praise. And today we're going to be in that unique area called thanksgiving. This is a difficult lesson to do because when you do a word say like this, there are so many passages where it's used, it's very difficult to find the definitive ones. So in just a moment, I'm going to give you a representative list of how the word thanksgiving is used and the concept in both the Old and New Testaments. But first, I'd like to show you some helps when you're doing a word like this. I was amazed. I usually go to Bible dictionaries like Zondervan Pictorial or the Standard Bible Encyclopedia, but they just don't have anything on thanksgiving or thanks. It's just a little bitty article, and it's not very helpful. So this is where you go to those specialized books called word study books, and I want to show you a couple of ones if I could. This is a very inexpensive one. It's in paperback. It's called A Theological Word Book of the Bible by Alan Richardson, and it's very helpful. It deals with most theological words, and thanksgiving is listed in this. There's another book that's put out recently called Baker's Dictionary of Theology by Harrison, and it had a very helpful section on thanksgiving, and it'll do the same with most other theological biblical words. Now, there is a unique kind of commentary available, a book study available, known as word studies in a more technical sense. I have a pair here. This is two of them. I'll get it. This is the Old Testament, New Testament of synonyms. Synonyms of the New Testament, synonyms of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is my very favorite, and it really does a good job. It's by Griddlestone, and I recommend it highly because many of you aren't familiar with Hebrew words. This is a great resource, even though it's been done just around the turn of the century. Now, Trench's Synonyms of the New Testament, it's a little more detailed. You need to know a little bit of Greek to use it. You say, Bob, I don't know any Greek. What's there for me? Well, there is one called the Expository Dictionary of the New Testament by Vine. And what it'll do, basically, you look up in English, and it'll show you the Greek words. When I get to the New Testament section of our lesson, it'll list here the three major words for thanks. One is charis, which is the word for grace. It's not used quite as often as the word eucharista, which, of course, we get the word Eucharist from, or Lord's Supper. And then eucharisto, which is the verb. And this will be helpful to you. Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words by Vine. Okay. With that in mind, let's go then to my overview of thanksgiving. And the way to teach this lesson or to study the thanksgiving would be to run these references for yourself. Look up the word in a concordance if you have a large concordance, and then run the references. I've kind of broken them down for you in topical subjects or areas where thanksgiving is used. Now, the only way you're going to do this is to find the references that are meaningful to you. And so I hope that you'll run through this and then try to think through it in your own mind. And I think it'll be a real blessing to you. Thanksgiving is just God's will for believers. It just permeates the Old Testament. The Psalms is just strewn with thanksgiving words. And the New Testament, amazingly so, has numerous concepts of thanksgiving and blessing to God. First of all, I want to say this is the source of our praise to God through Christ. Our ultimate thanksgiving is for God's love through Christ, our salvation. You might want to see 2 Corinthians 2:14, the beautiful passage of 2 Corinthians 9:15. It says, thank God for His unspeakable gift. The context is giving to the churches, the Gentile churches, giving to the Jerusalem church, but the ultimate thanksgiving is the gift of God. And then Colossians 3:17 is that we're to relate everything in life to Jesus Christ and to continue to give thanks to the Father because of Him. I think that's a wonderful verse. This is the proper motive for ministry. This is the only motive for ministry. Gratitude and thanksgiving to what God has already done for us in grace issues in a life of thanksgiving and gratitude, service toward others. Did you know that thanksgiving is the continual theme around the throne of God in heaven? You might want to see Revelation 4:9, Revelation 7:12, and Revelation 11:17. It's also said to be the continual purpose of man, that man is to continue to give thanks to God. Now, of course, we're in the context of believers here. You might want to see Colossians 2:7, Colossians 3:17, and Colossians 4:2. Let's go to the biblical material, if we could, and we'll go to the Old Testament first. There are two basic Hebrew words that are translated praise or thanksgiving. Now, the word praise is the word yada, and it means usually in the sense of praise, often connected with the sacrificial cultus. And the other word is todah, which is the word thanksgiving, but it's connected with thanksgiving offerings or sacrifice. And you can see that very clearly in 2 Chronicles 29:31 and 2 Chronicles 33:16. The thank offering, where a man brought an offering and the priest got part was put on the altar, and part was given back to the man who brought it. And with this, what was left, he had a fellowship meal in the temple where God symbolically ate with him. And I think that is one of the, it's called a peace offering quite often. That's one of the in Old Testament incipient backgrounds to the Lord's Supper. Now, did you know that David appointed a special group of Levites to continually give praise and thanksgiving to God in the temple? I want to read this one to you. It's in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4. We pick up back in verse 1 where it says, "And David brought the ark, the tabernacle, from Nob, where it was, back to Jerusalem. And then he divided the Levites up. And he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise Yahweh, Elohim of Israel." Now, these same group of singers are Levitical praisers. It continues throughout David's ministry, throughout Solomon's reign, in Hezekiah's time, and even down in the return from the exile. Let me give you a few references if I could. 1 Chronicles 16:4, 7, and 41. 1 Chronicles 23:30, 1 Chronicles 25:3, 2 Chronicles 5:13, 2 Chronicles 7:6, 2 Chronicles 31:2, Nehemiah 11:12, Nehemiah 12, 24, 27, 31, 38, and 46. Wouldn't that neat to have some of the priest who had no responsibility but praising and thanking God? Wow. I think that's a neat deal. Now, I want to come to the Psalter for a minute, and the Psalms are just loaded. You can just think through your mind, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. We will come to His courts with thanksgiving." Why, there are several words here, but the concept of thanksgiving to God is the basis of the Psalter. So I want to give you a series of structured topics that go through the Psalms that deal with this. First, the basis of thanksgiving is to Yahweh for His covenant loyalty. Now, there's a special word connected there, as Yahweh is the special covenant name between God and His people. Hesed is the special covenant verb that means God's no strings attached covenant loyalty. In King James, it's translated mercy. In my New American Standard, it's translated loving kindness. Now, here's a few references. Psalms 107:8, Psalms 138:2. And I was going to read just the first part of Psalms 103 because here it's not so much hesed, but the verbs describe what God has done for man in the covenant. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5 of Psalms 103. "Bless the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, nephesh, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." I used to get tickled. I had a friend who used to, every time we would forget to pray when we eat, she would always pray this prayer, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." I'm not sure that's what it's for, but it sure was funny. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." Catch that covenant fidelity. "Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness," there's that word hesed, "and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle." Notice this: pardons, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies, renewed. Now, those are a series of covenant blessings that in different parts of the Psalter, God is thanked for specifically. But here, it's almost a summary of all of them. Now, let's look at the thing about the thanksgiving. I was going to read one more here. I thought it was good. About when you enter the temple, that just coming to the temple of God evoked a thanksgiving attitude. This is Psalms 100, verse 4. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Now, the first thanksgiving may be thank offering, but the other ones are we praise God's name, we praise Him because we're getting to come to the temple and worship Him. There's some other ones like that. You might want to see Psalms 95:2, where they're to come before God with praise. Then there's a thanksgiving that accompanied the sacrifices. Every sacrifice was a thanksgiving to God for forgiving sin, for completing a vow made, and on and on. Psalms 26:7, Psalms 122:4. Now, there are several psalms that thank God for different actions that He's done in the life of the individual. Kind of like Psalms 103, 1 through 5, but separated out in different aspects. Deliverance from enemies. Now, when I give you these, if you look them up, you'll say, well, that doesn't say anything about enemies. But if you'll look at the psalm as a whole, look at the subscription of the psalm. It says, David thanks God for the release from his enemies. You'll see how the thanksgiving fits in to release from enemies. And there's several of these. Psalm 7, 17, 18, 49, 28, 7, 35, 18, 44, 8, 54, 6, 79, 13. Boy, the beautiful Psalm 118, verses 1, 21, and 29, and Psalms 138, 1. You say, Bob, that's too many to look up. I won't tell you, this will put bells on your feet, friends. This will light your wick unless it's wet about God and what He's done for us. These are wonderful. Deliverance from prison. And it's a metaphor of, I think, deliverance from death or bondage in the sense of spiritual or physical. Psalms 142, 7. Then there's several that David talks about deliverance from death. We're not sure if it means he had a physical disease or during one of the rebellions of his sons or what exactly. But boy, he believes that God was going to spare his life. Psalms 30, verse 4 and verse 12. Psalms 86, verse 12 and 13. And Isaiah 38, 18 and 19. You might want to compare that. There are several psalms that talk about thanking God for putting down the wicked and raising up the righteous. Now, I realize that the book of Job and Psalm 73 are a reaction against that kind of Old Testament idea that if you're good, God will bless you, and if you sin, God will destroy you, because sometimes the wicked did prosper and sometimes the righteous did suffer. But the basic idea is that God blesses those physically who know Him and love Him, and that He curses those who break His covenant. That's what Deuteronomy 27 and 28 is all about. Let me give you a few of where God is praised for His justice in this world. Psalms 52:9, Psalm 75:1, 92:1, 140, verse 13. God is thanked and praised for His willingness to forgive the covenant people who sin. Psalms 30, verse 4, Isaiah 12, 1. And then finally, for His wonderful provision for the nation of Israel. That's what the book of Genesis is all about, getting to Abraham, to get to Israel, so they can be a kingdom of priests to bring all the world to God. Psalms 106, 1 and following, beautiful. Psalms 111, 1. Psalms 136, 1 and 26, Psalms 145, 10, and Jeremiah 33:11 is a quote from those psalms. Now, let's go to the New Testament, if we could, quickly. And when we come to the New Testament, we find two basic Greek words again. I mentioned those to you from Vine's Expository Dictionary, and that's the word eucharisto, the verb, and eucharistos, the noun. And we get, of course, the word Eucharist from that, or thanksgiving, which, of course, the Lord's Supper is a wonderful example of us thanking and remembering God for what He's done in Jesus Christ. I think the first examples I want to mention are the example of Jesus Himself. Do you realize that Jesus' life was marked by thanksgiving to God? The first one that comes to mind is for food. We take that so lightly, but Jesus gave a blessing at every meal, so still the Jews. Luke 22:17, Luke 22:19. Now, the Lord's Supper is talked about in 1 Corinthians 11:24, and that Luke 22 passage is also dealing with the Lord's Supper. Another example of Him blessing, and probably He would raise His hands and His eyes to heaven as He gave thanks, would be John 6:11 and 23. He was thankful for answered prayer. God heard His prayer. He knew that. John 11:41. Other examples in the New Testament following Jesus first is thanksgiving for food that came very common. Acts 27:35. Romans 14:6, 1 Corinthians 10:30, 11:24, and 1 Timothy 4:3 and 4. There's a thanksgiving for healing in Luke 17:16. There's thanksgiving for the peace of God in Acts 24:2 and 3. There's thanksgiving from deliverance from danger, much like part of the Psalms, Acts 27:35, Acts 28:15. I think Philippians 4:6 is one of the most beautiful passages on thanking God in all circumstances, and I want to read that. I think it's so beautiful. And I'm going to start in verse 4 because it sets the stage for the whole context of the life of the believer. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Woo! What a prayer. What a praise. What a place to talk about thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6. We are to pray for all men. Now, this, of course, comes in the context in 1 Timothy 2:1 of us praying for governmental leaders, not church leaders, government leaders, world leaders. And we are to thank God as well as to pray for them. You say, well, if they're a beast, we're to thank God that there is government and not anarchy. And we're to thank God for all men. Now, some other aspects of thankfulness that's mentioned in the New Testament would be it is a will of God for every believer. This is another one of those classical passages, I think, which is in 1 Thessalonians 5. And it comes in the context of a wider understanding, I think, where it says, live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Rejoice always. All these are imperatives. Pray without ceasing. In everything, not some things, in everything give thanks. For this is a will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Do you catch the spirit of thanksgiving there that permeates all of life? Those in the church, their relation with one another, their relation with outsiders, in all circumstances, we're to give thanks. Boy, that's tough, I know. This is where Romans 8:28-29 come in, where the good that God wants for us is the Christ-likeness mentioned in verse 28. And we're to give thanks that God is working in our lives to make us more like Christ. There ought to be an attitude of constant rejoicing and constant thanksgiving because we know God's in control of our lives. And things just don't happen to us. I was amazed in some of the passages where it seemed like that us not giving thanks was considered a sin. You might want to see Luke 17:16, Romans 1:21. It's also seen as an antidote for sin, and by that I mean it's in a context where several sins are mentioned, but then it says, but you should give thanks, meaning that if we give thanks, it may protect us from some sins of the flesh, and that'd be Ephesians 5:4. Now, I want to come, if I could, in these last few minutes of our lesson, to talk about Paul. He's been so influential on Protestant theology. His interpretation of the Gospels has been the standard by which we understand the Lord Jesus. And so I want to look at his life and how he basically dealt with the concept of thanksgiving. I want to do it in two halves. First, how he blessed the churches for doing certain things, and then the things he personally thanked God for, okay? His blessing on the churches. For number one, they're proclaiming the good news. Now, friends, there's a great thing to thank God for, that the churches were proclaiming the good news. Romans 1:8, Colossians 1:3-4, Ephesians 1:15-16, 1 Thessalonians 1:2. Then for God's grace that was bestowed on them, making such a difference in their lives and the lives of those around them. 1 Corinthians 1:4, 2 Corinthians 1:11, 2 Corinthians 4:15. Paul thanks God for them accepting the gospel, becoming believers, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For their fellowship in the spread of the gospel, meaning they helped Paul, or they were proclaiming it themselves, which would be Philippians 1:3-5. For their growth in the grace of God, 2 Thessalonians 1:3. For their knowledge of election, really, who they are. Someone once said that great preaching is telling the saints what they already are in Jesus Christ. I believe that's so true. And here Paul thanks God that of their knowledge of the gospel. They've been chosen by God's grace, God's initiating, no strings attached grace, and they've responded to it by faith, and now they know who they are. Man, that's powerful stuff. For the spiritual blessings that being a Christian brings, Colossians 1:12, Colossians 3:15. For their liberality in giving, and of course this is in the context of the contribution for the saints in Jerusalem, 2 Corinthians 9:11 and 12. And finally, his joy over new believers, 1 Thessalonians 3:9. Now, Paul had some personal requests that he mentioned several different times in several different ways. Not only did he thank God for what God was doing in the churches and what the churches were doing for God, but he thanks God for what God had done for him. Friends, I think he remembered where he was when God called him out of the pit he was in. I think he remembered how lost and so hell-bound he was in the midst of his religiosity, in the midst of his stern, conservative, rabbinical Judaism. Boy, Paul just rejoices for being a believer. Oh, you ought to read Colossians 1:12. For deliverance from the bondage of sin. Have you ever read Romans 7 recently? In Romans 6, it says that believers have the potential to be free from sin. In Romans 7, Paul agonizes his sin, still is a part of his life, but Jesus set him free. You ought to read Romans 7:25. For the sacrificial labor of others in the work of the ministry. It's the conclusion to the book of Romans, Romans 16:4. Thanking God that some things did not happen. You know, we can thank God for what did occur, but we can also thank Him that some things didn't that we've prayed about. And that would be 1 Corinthians 1:14. For His personal spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. I know that goes against the grain of some folks who are mad at charismatics, but the truth is, Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Now, to get the whole balance on that, you've got to read the entire literary context of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. In my opinion, there's several criteria there. Is it Jesus-centered, 12? Is it motivated by love, 13? And is the spiritual gift edifying the church, 14? So what he says is, I'm glad I speak in tongues. I wish all of you would speak in tongues. But to edify the church, we need to either have preaching we can understand or every tongue needs to be interpreted. Now, for the spiritual growth of his friends, you might well see Philemon, verses 4 and 5, where he thanks God for Philemon. And then finally, for the physical strength to be in the ministry. We think Paul was a pretty sickly man. I know that sounds funny, but we often think of him as tall, dark, handsome, muscular. But the second century book, Paul and Thelka, pictures him as short, bow-legged, bushy-eyebrowed, balding, with protruding eyes. We think he had oriental ophthalma. Many think he may have had malaria, but for some reason Paul had some real physical problems. And so he thanks God for the strength he has to do the work of the ministry in 1 Timothy 1:12. A few closing remarks, if I could. Thanksgiving is our central response to God once we're saved. It issues not only in verbal assent, but I think thanksgiving to God is also the way we live. It was interesting to me that in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe verses 15 and 16, it talks about the Christian's sacrifice. And knowing how thanksgiving and sacrifice are tied in the Old Testament, as a believer, I want to know what sacrifice can I offer God. And it's amazing to me that in that closing passage of the book of Hebrews, what it says is, what God is pleased with in believers is the sacrifice of our lips, praise, thanksgiving, gratitude, verbally uttered to God, privately, corporately in witnessing, and then a life of love and good deeds. That's the sacrifices that God's pleased with. Like, that's interesting. Number two, thanksgiving in all things is the goal of a mature life in the care of God. Isn't that what 1 Thessalonians 5:13 through 18 is talking about? In all things we give thanks. Friends, that's a hard place to come to. But that is the will of God. You say, but you don't know what I'm going through. You must not know the God who's going through it with you. We may go through the valley of deep darkness, but we'll never be anywhere God's not with us. And friends, there's always a purpose. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will never give us more than we're able to bear. He's going to be with us. We can thank Him for all things. Now, I'm not a praise the Lord person. I don't have a flat and say, oh, thank God. Or have a wreck and say, oh, praise the Lord. But I think I've come to the place to see that in every circumstance in my life that God's working for His glory. And maybe after a while I can say, Lord, this hurt, this is painful, but I know that Your will's here somewhere, and I want to thank You for it, even though I don't understand it, and it hurts so bad. Finally, thanksgiving is a recurrent theme of both the Old Testament and New. And the real question is it your theme? Does it mark your life? Do you have a regular pattern of thanking God first for who He is, then what He's done, and what He's going to do? Do you really see your life encompassed with the hands of a loving personal God, that nothing just happens to you, that everything has a purpose, and it's God's will we give thanks? Well, that's really tough, but it's a mark of maturity. Thanksgiving, what a theme, what a goal, what a sacrifice. Well, I've really enjoyed being with you. I hope the outline's helpful. I hope you'll look at these books. There's some good ones, and if you look at them and study them, you'll have a greater grasp of not only this word, but other words in the New Testament and Old Testament. Hope you'll pray for me. I thank the Lord for you. In Jesus' name, have a good day.